Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Now, the long-awaited final report on the State Department of Children and Families. Governor Deval Patrick commissioned it following the disappearance last year of 5-year-old Jeremiah Oliver, whose body was found last month. The report from the Child Welfare League of America concludes that DCF should not be held responsible for the boy's death.
But the report also highlights continuing problems within the state's Child Protection Department, including understaffing and outdated policies and protocols. WBUR's Asma Khalid joins us in the studio with details. And Asma, thank you for coming in.
No problem.
So Jeremiah Oliver's death has really become shorthand for a child protection agency that failed in its duties to protect kids. But what does this report released today say about DCF's role or blame in this little boy's death, if any?
Well, this was interesting because it was the first time they had come out with a preliminary report earlier, but this was the first time we saw any analysis of DCF's role in the case of Jeremiah Oliver. Linda Spears, who's the with the Child Welfare League of America, was on hand today, and she spoke about it in a sort of legalese. So let's take a listen to what she had to say.
We did not conclude that DCF was responsible for Jeremiah Oliver's death or that DCF could have prevented the tragic outcome for this little boy. There is, however, significant evidence that some staff did not do their job in the Oliver case. There is not evidence that DCF's actions caused Jeremiah's death. We do believe that DCF and many of the adults in Jeremiah's life failed to protect him.
So, Sasha, you can hear it's sort of a clear effort to parse words, saying that DCF was not necessarily off the hook, but it also wasn't on the hook.
Asma, you mentioned a preliminary report issued earlier, and there were recommendations for DCF in that report, some of which have been made. So tell us what has already changed at the agency, and what does today's report say still needs to change?
So I think the two are sort of intertwined. The two major issues that the agency has been trying to tackle are heavy caseloads and outdated technologies. And those are two things that we also heard about in the preliminary report. So thus far, the agency, since the beginning of the year, since January, has hired 200 new employees. And, you know, you'd think, well, this would have made drastic sort of changes in the caseloads, heavy caseloads that social workers have been dealing with. But currently, the caseload is about 19.8 families to every one caseworker. I mean, and that, those aren't even children. You know, a family may have 3 or 4 children.
So many more than 19 people.
Exactly. Many more than 19 people. And the ultimate goal is to get that number down to 15 families for every one caseworker. That's sort of a national average. And the folks here at DCF feel that that would be manageable. The other complaint has been old-school technology. The report says that DCF lacks adequate access to cell phones or even other handheld devices. And this would be helpful to caseworkers, you know, as they're sort of maybe traveling from place to place. They could check calendars or even remotely log into internal software. Around the time that this initial report, the preliminary report, was put out, there were about 54 tablets that were issued on a pilot basis. Thus far, they say that that system seems to be working very well, and there are plans by this summer to roll out another 2,000 tablets.
So more staffing and more technology means more spending. Does DCF have the money for these improvements?
Well, right now, no, not at all. And one of the things that this report mentioned is that, yes, there has been a push to receive additional funding for FY 2015. But given sort of the demands that the agency has, even more money would be needed. DCF asked for an additional $9.2 million. That's just for staffing and for these technological improvements. And that's what the governor's budget includes. The House and the Senate versions of the budget that have both been introduced actually increased that amount by a couple million dollars more. But what's happening is that they want to decrease the caseload down to 15 families for every one caseworker. And even though they've hired 200, they've only actually increased the level of employees by about 90.
Because of attrition?
Exactly. They're losing people. And so, you know, there's a sense that as much as they're doing to increase, you know, increase efforts, increase the money, there really needs to be a huge push of money. And the other thing I wanted to mention that sort of tied with money and with the budget is this idea of being licensed as a social worker. And this was one sort of big change that we've seen. It's also been part of the legislature, the idea that the legislature would have to amend the law to have a requirement that DCF social workers actually are licensed in social work, which, from my understanding, is not the case across the board. It's not a mandatory provision.
Asma, you were in downtown Boston today for this report's public release. The Health and Human Services Secretary John Polonowicz was there. The interim commissioner, Erin Devaney, was there. She replaced the ousted commissioner. One notable absence, of course, is the ousted commissioner, Ogle Roche.
Exactly.
Did her name come up at all?
You know, interestingly, it came up sort of one time in an abstract sense, and that is when Linda Spears, who's with the Child Welfare League of America, she was asked about the former commissioner. And what I thought was very interesting is she said specifically that their report did not look to blame an individual. And she thought that was actually a very problematic approach. She said that what they were trying to do was look at the problems that existed across the system. Let's take a listen to what she had to say.
For me, the firing of a commissioner, while I understand that people have to do that, I think that if every child welfare system in this country were to accept the resignation of a commissioner based on the problems that that agency has, when all of those problems look alike across the country, we're looking at the wrong solution.
So those were some, you know, very harsh words about a decision that was made earlier where Ogle Roche did resign. The other thing that was interesting is that they spoke broadly about DCF not existing in a vacuum, and that in order to really tackle some of these problems, you have to look at some of the broader societal issues, particularly around substance abuse and the current situation in Massachusetts with an opioid epidemic.
So major challenges ahead for this agency.
Indeed.
That's WBUR's Asma Khalid. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sasha.
Stay with us. Coming up, Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist Ron Suskind on his new book about how his autistic son used his passion for Disney films to find language and social connection. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Sasha Pfeiffer. This is Radio Boston.